This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The 2023 dig season continues in Israel, and once again we're doing an interview with Scott Stripling, the director of the excavations at Tel Shiloh, and provost of Bible Seminary in Katy, Texas, also president of the Near East Archaeological Society. We've been doing these check-ins for, I guess, as long as you've been digging at Tel Shiloh and before that, and you had another productive season. Was there anything different about the 2023 season from previous years?
Well, hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me on again. We had a great dig season. The one thing that was different was it wasn't as hot as usual. For some reason, we had cooler temperatures, and that made for a fantastic mood for everyone on the dig and for great productivity. We also had our largest dig team ever, and that enabled us to get a lot done.
How many people?
We had 228 registered volunteers and staff, and then we had day volunteers and groups, and so maybe close to 400 that actually, you know, lifted a trowel during the season. So we were able to produce a lot, and it was neat with our system, the way that it's set up to be able to absorb that many people. It worked great, and I thought we were really productive.
So how does the system work maybe differently than other excavations when you have such a large group?
So we have sort of a Jethro Moses hierarchy, if you will, where we work with a square supervisor, an assistant square supervisor, and then a team of anywhere from 5 to 15 people normally. If we have, say, an average of 10 to 12 people working in a square and we've got 20 squares open and we have 50 people show up, we can absorb, you know, 4 or 5 people into each square. And there's extra projects that the square supervisors want to work on, extra places they want to put labor. And then we have site-wide projects sometimes that need to be done as well. So it was good for me to see that, hey, we can absorb this number of people and continue to be productive.
And we always encourage listeners to this program to volunteer at a dig in Israel if they're interested, because there's lots of opportunities, especially at an excavation like yours. You also do wet sifting, and that takes extra volunteers.
Well, that's right. And that's one place that we often do put extra people, because we tend to fall behind a little bit there. We have to train them a little bit when they first get there and sort of get their eyes accustomed to what they're looking for, what they're not looking for, but then they can immediately make a difference. And so that's awesome. This year in our wet sifting, you know, the maxim that the last day of the dig is when the big find happens. And this year was no exception. With 1 hour left in the dig, we were at that point just wrapping things up and trying to finish up our wet sifting. And one of my students found a scarab. And then with about 5 minutes left, literally on the last few bags, another student found a bula. And that was all through wet sifting.
A bula is a seal impression of clay that is often missed if you're not doing some extra work like wet sifting.
Most of them are missed. Think about the famous ones from the Ophel in the last few years, the Hezekiah and the Isaiah, for example. Both of those, had they not been wet sifting those crucial loci, they would have been tossed.
Can you tell us what the seal impression was, what it said?
Well, I don't even know yet. I mean, this was just a few weeks ago. We had them cleaned, and now I've been catching up on things, you know, after having been gone for 8 weeks. So I'm now ready to actually sit down, and I've sent the pictures to a couple of our epigraphers, and we're going to start working on that.
Okay. So it's still early in some respects to find out what happened at the 2023 excavations at Tel Shiloh. Shiloh, of course, is famous as the site of the tabernacle for about 300 years during the period of the judges. Is there anything new related to the tabernacle? I think when we've talked previously, you talked about excavating a building that had the same dimensions of the tabernacle.
Right. And that building was our main focus this season. We put a lot of labor on that. Fortunately, my supervisors have been working in the same areas now since the beginning of the dig. And so they know the stratigraphy well. They communicate well with each other. We know what we're anticipating. There should be a foundation trench here, for example. Let's be really careful. So we did expose a lot more. We got down to floor level on this building, and it's preserved at one point up to 3 meters in height. So it's massive. And when the head of publications for the IAA came to visit me and a couple of other archaeological friends with him, they were just stunned. They said, what else could it be? I mean, it's the dimensions given, it's dates to that time period. The pottery supports that. We got our third corner very clearly in situ of the building now. I estimated then where the fourth corner should be and where the door should be, because the Bible mentions the door of the tabernacle. And lo and behold, we came right down on a socket stone right where we anticipated the door would be. So, you know, I'm still not ready to say that we know we have the tabernacle. I'd like to dig another season to find our final corner, but it sure is looking promising.
You say it dates to the time period, and there's controversy about the period of the judges and the Exodus. What time period is your dating?
If I'm saying Eli's time period, so we're in the 11th century. The site goes through a massive destruction around 1075 BC, probably by the Philistines. Before that, this building is in use, maybe as early as LB2. So somewhere there's a transition that takes place. In the biblical text, we see it in 1 Samuel 3, where the language goes from temporary, the curtains of the tabernacle, to permanent, the walls of the tabernacle. And then that's supported in the Seder Olam and in the Zevayim, two places in the Mishnah. And then archaeologically, that seems to be what we're finding.
And of course, with the tabernacle comes the Holy of Holies.
Well, and that's, we were digging in that area this year, and you know, you get up each morning, you think, okay, we're going to be working in an area that could likely be the Holy of Holies. That's pretty awesome, Gordon. I mean, just thinking about the privilege we have as archaeologists, and then some of us are believers, to be able to not only do important work, but work that matters and that tells a story is really awesome.
For those who just joined us, we're talking with Scott Stripling, the Director of Excavations for Associates for Biblical Research at Tel Shiloh. The 2023 dig season occurred earlier this summer. We've been talking about the tabernacle. You know, I think in recent weeks, there's been a lot of discussion about King David, who's kind of a pivotal figure in archaeology because he's the earliest person attested archaeologically by finds outside of the Bible. It seems to me with this discovery of the tabernacle, perhaps you're opening the curtain a little bit wider and pushing the chronology a little earlier.
Well, that's right. We have a lot that does point to David. Yossi Garfinkel has done a good job recently of sort of engaging on that idea and saying, wait a minute, why is this so controversial? We have a lot of evidence of David. What we're now finding at Shiloh is going back another two or three generations and looking at a verisimilitude there. Now, we don't have an inscription yet, but there was from an earlier excavation at Shiloh, interestingly, a figurine. And on the figurine, it said, Isis, bless the temple of, and then it's broken at that point. And so perhaps through wet sifting, we will be able to recover that critical piece. Does it say Shiloh? Does it say Yahweh?
Some of the other things you found at the excavation there, including this past season, have a star symbol on it. I don't know if you're talking about a Star of David, a six-pointed star or a five-pointed star, but some of these were found in gold pieces.
Yeah, we're definitely picking up on a star motif. These are all coming out of Area D. So if you leave this monumental building and you go east, you'll run into Area D on the eastern edge of the site. That's the pavisa. So this is where the sacred dump is, if you will. The bones after they've been offered in sacrifice and the vessels after they've been used in sacrifice are then dumped into this big pavisa. We added a zoo archaeologist to our team this year, Haskell Greenfield from the University of Manitoba. We've begun the deep dive on analyzing all of these bones. And it's fascinating. They definitely are more right-sided than left-sided. The pottery is definitely LB2. Mixed in with those, we're finding this star motif, and we're finding gold stars, we're finding ceramics with this eight, and they're all eight-sided, by the way, that are impressed. So, you know, could this be perhaps the Numbers 24 prophetic star? Is this something pagan that they brought with them and then left the gold as an offering? We're still doing that research.
So you don't really have a handle on what the significance of the star is?
Not yet, but boy, we're researching it. I've got several members of my team that are researching, and we're preparing articles and so forth as we speak.
And we've also talked about the gate of the city. In the last couple years, you've kind of narrowed your focus, and it looks like you found the gate. How did that part of the excavation go this year?
Right. Well, we were very interested to get back into the field and expand upon where we were, because we had some pillars that were beginning to emerge that paralleled a large Bronze Age wall next to this opening that we thought very well could be the gate or entrance into the city. So we were able to make tremendous progress in that area. Other pillars emerged as well. And so we now have three very large pillars, massive stones, five of them, still one on top of the other, and they parallel this wall. And it seems that maybe a roof was on top of that. Beams would have gone across there, creating a roof for the outer gate area. And then that leads into the inner gate area, and it's symmetrical on both sides. So it literally goes through the fortification wall, and you've got a chamber on the left and a chamber on the right, and then a recessed chamber where it seems that the ruler of the city, or Eli in the biblical case, may have been sitting. And there's a perfect view of the road, and you know the biblical story about Eli's looking out at the road. So again, I'd like another season or two to keep working in this area before we make a formal announcement, but it sure does look promising. In fact, when the head of the IAA came to visit me there, it was looking at this, he just kept saying, "You've got the gate, you've got the gate." So this is exciting, because the gate is mentioned in the Bible, and in my view, and I know in the view of artifacts, also in the Amarna letters, EA 288 mentions Silu, which is Shiloh, and the gate is mentioned twice there.
And in the biblical times, the gate is not just the entrance to the city, but, you know, we know from the story of Ruth and Boaz, that's where the business of the city takes place. And it's also many times very close to the holy, like a synagogue or a cultic site of some kind.
Right. And this gate leads you right into our monumental building. And so you have storage rooms. It leads you immediately to storage rooms. Then on the other side of the storage rooms are the monumental building. That's definitely the sweet spot where we're going to be working probably for another four or five seasons in order to accomplish the original research objectives that I had. So if we want to, we can in 4 or 5 years sort of bring the excavation to a soft landing and then focus on publication.
We have visited Shiloh the last two times on our trips to Israel, and now with these developments related by Scott Stripling, I'm looking forward to our next visit in 2024 to see more clearly the site of the ancient tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was located for 300 years and the gate of the city. Scott Stripling is provost of the Bible Seminary in Katy, Texas, president of the Near East Archaeological Society, and director of excavations for Associates for Biblical Research at Tel Shiloh. If you'd like to join us on our next Israel Archaeological Adventure Tour in November 2024, you can find out more information at our website at radioscribe.com. You can also find more information there on how to subscribe to Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine, which is one of the best ways to stay up to date on all of the discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. That's at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.